Hades, the Mahayana, one who is aware of religious principles. Alamaba, accepting them as irreligious. Should become. Translation. There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion, vikarma, religious principles for which one is unfit, paradharma, pretentious religion, abhasa, analogical religion, upadharma, and cheating religion, chaladharma. One who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. Any religious principle opposed to the principle of surrendering to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna are to be considered religious principles of irregularity or cheating, and one who is actually interested in religion must give them up. One should simply follow the instructions of Krishna and surrender unto him. To do this, of course, one needs very good intelligence, which may be awakened after many, many births through good association with devotees and the practice of Krishna consciousness. Everything but the principle of religion recommended by Krishna, Sarvadaman Karichatyao Mamikam Sharanam Vraja, should be given up as irreligion. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhyane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyavadi Sitarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vaishnava Gaura Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vidharma paro dharmascha abhasa upama chala adharma shakapanchema dharma gyo dharma vat chayat. Translation. There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion, vidharma, religious principles for which one is unfit, paradharma, pretentious religious principles, abhasa, analogical religion, upadharma, and cheating religion, chaladharma. Now, one who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. This verse encourages us to think deeply about our Krishna conscious practice. In this verse we hear five types of irreligion. And we might say, well, we are following Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupation of the soul which is surrendered to Krishna. We do not really need to think about these five types of irreligion because we are on the safe side. Now, I think for our own benefit, we can take another perspective and see, are we actually free from the tendency to cheat us and cheat others? In a, also in Sanatana Dharma, we hear of the Dharma Dvaji, that is someone who speaks something and has something else in his heart. For instance, if you chant the holy name, the mouth, our mouth is engaged in producing the Nama Chintamani Krishnas. But if our mind is somewhere else, if it is distracted to other things, then we hear that's actually not worth chanting. Inattention while chanting is something to be overcome, and one form of inattention certainly, that our mouth is doing the one thing and the heart is going somewhere else. It is clear from this little glimpse into our practical life that also we have to be careful to not engage in abhasa, that we are pretentious, because we have das Vorleben, was wir nicht sind, that our mouth is somewhere else than our heart. We have to take care of this. Now, and it's very interesting that we are advised in the scriptures by Srila Rupa Goswami practice what is called Sangha Tyaga. Sangha Tyaga means to give up the association of non-devotees. And in the association of non-devotees, why is it that we are encouraged to give up the association of non-devotees? It is because the non-devotees are usually attached to material life, whereas devotees are attached to Krishna. And then the association of non-devotees, also attachments to material life can come up. When we are advised to give up the association of non-devotees, immediately the Sangatana devotee comes to mind, who mixes with the non-devotees, or a devotee like Peter comes to mind, who is working in the kami world with non-devotees, or another devotee like our Andala comes to mind, who is going to school, where not all school children are non-devotees. Is this forbidden? Or is this not okay? Or is it dangerous? Well, the association with non-devotee, again, becomes only dangerous when you give your heart to it. Srila Rupa Goswami describes how you give your heart when you have an association with someone. You give him presents, tatati pratigrinati. You receive presents, like yesterday we visited one devotee and he gave presents, and in the end we all got a verse and two cookies as a present back. And this is a form of practicing association with, where you give your heart, you give a present, you reveal your mind in confidence, and ask confidential questions, and you give prasadam and take prasadam. These are forms of association where you open your heart, like yesterday some of us visited another devotee and we were served a very excellent prasadam feast, and we all felt our hearts opening and running to this Vaishnava and his wife. It is very natural that forming these six forms of loving exchange, you open your heart and you bring your heart in there. So when you have association with non-devotees, you should be very careful to not open your heart in the same way as you do for devotees. Because then what is in the heart of the non-devotees will go into the heart of the devotee. It's very important for devotees. We cannot, as preachers or as those who practice Krishna consciousness in the Western environment, we cannot totally give up the association with non-devotees. But what we can give up is the dangerous part in this association. That is, if we give our heart and open our hearts by the ways which Rupa Goswami has elaborated. Now, there is another form of, see, when we speak of Sangha Tyaga, we should give up the association of non-devotees so that we are not polluted, so to say, or contaminated by the materialistic tendencies. And there is an Sangha Tyaga, to give up Sangha or association has another meaning, which is very deep and which I want to spend the rest of this lecture discussing about. It's we should give up attachment. I think we all know one is attached to something, it's very difficult to make really advancement if this attachment is something non-devotional. Last Sunday, Bhakti Charu Maharaj was preaching to all of us that if you keep the anchor of attachment in the ground, your endeavors to advance may become futile. He gave the example of the boatman who rowed the boatman who rowed the party of the bridegroom over the river was rowing the whole night, remember? And the morning, they were at the same place when it was, when the course was searched for, they found that the anchor was still in the riverbed. This way his tremendous endeavor had gone to waste. So this anchor represents, this analogy, attachment. If we keep our private attachments alive for activities which are not really advantageous and which are not furthering bhakti, then we can endeavor so laboriously on the one hand, but we will not make significant advancement. Therefore, we should lift the anchor of our attachment in a way which we will talk a little later about. Now, attachments, sorry for getting so analytical, but life is for deep thoughts. There are two types of attachments, really. And one is material things, you know, like good clothing, good vehicles for transport, good living accommodations, and so on and so forth, good food. But the other type of attachment, and I will not talk about this because everyone here knows about it, is attachment. Now listen very carefully, this is a point which I have taken from Bhaktivinoda's purport on Sangha Tyaga. It's attachment to one's acquired nature. We all know we do have a spiritual identity, we are an eternal servant of Krishna, but we also have what is in Sanskrit called Svabhava. It's a certain nature. Kant would say, das So-Sein, you know, the way you are acting. For instance, someone of us may be a little arrogant just by birth. You know, to not make it so sterile, my lecture. This is, for instance, my hang-up. I come from this family of very well trained, really, to, you know, be punchy and to get what we wanted, because my father came here, and they were relatively poor, and he became one director of. So that is an acquired nature which you are trained, which you are. We Westerners, Prabhupada says, you Westerners have two diseases. you are very much attached to sex life and to quarrel. That is called svabhava, in a quiet nature. Not something very glorious. something you adopt in the association of others, which your mind, which acts often like a mirror, reflects this, and then you act in a certain way. There is a reason why each one of us acts in a certain way, which can be traced due to association in this life, but also association in others' life. For instance, some of us have extreme difficulties with the position of women in Krishna consciousness. Men and women have this difficulty. Who knows what they were in their past life, which they had acquired. Others, for instance, are extreme. They have their weaknesses maybe in one of the rules and regulations. Who knows what they did in their last life, which made them acquire this certain nature. In some of the when we hear of the activities of the demons, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj gave a very interesting class, in which he traces why the demons acted in Krishna Leela, acted the way they acted. For instance, I mean, this would be something for Freud and Jung to dive into. For instance, Bhutana in her previous life was the daughter of Bali Maharaj, when Vamanadev entered the sacrificial arena, she thought, "Oh, I want to have him as my son. He's so beautiful. He looks so sweet and attractive. I want to have someone like him as my son and nourish him with the breast milk." Now, then she saw how Vamanadev took everything away from her father, and she saw, "Yes, I want him as a son, but then I poison him because he has taken everything away from my father." Mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada often in his preaching work faced our Western natures, which are also acquired due to different experiences in this world. This principle remains. And now, to make advancement in Krishna consciousness means to give up these acquired natures, this svabhava, which often keeps us acting in a way which is not really favorable to Krishna consciousness. Now, the remedy how to give this acquired nature up is in the association of devotees. Lord Kapiladev expresses this fact in a verse which I would like to read to you. Sangoya samsrita hetu asatsu vihito liya Sareva sadhushu krito nisangatvaya kalpate. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage. But the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. In other words, in the association of devotees, these old nature which has been formed due to association with sense gratification, this goes. You might all have made the experiences in association of devotees that you are trained, you are schooled, something develops with you. This association of devotees is very, very good in taking off material contaminations. See, this svabhava, this acquired nature, which is not your spiritual nature, is something like the black covering which is over silver. This is Srila Prabhupada's example which he uses in the instructions of Prita Maharaj. He says, in the association of non-devotees, our spiritual nature gets covered over. We acquire what you have in silver, this black coating. You know, you have to use silver for smittle always to get it off. Now, he says, by the association of devotees, this contamination is rubbed away. And if you look in our practical experience in the devotee association and this movement, sometimes devotees association is really a rubbing process, and it is not always easy. When a devotee, when in the association of devotees, for instance, one of your anattas becomes revealed. Ooh. It is very painful sometimes. It is so painful. Maybe I'm the only one who experiences pain because I have so much anattas, but do you know what I'm talking about? Then someone tells us, oh, don't be attached, Prabhu. You know, make such a comment which only a devotee can make. You know, or now you are totally in your false ego. Ooh, you know, you hear this, or no, it invariably happens that in the association of devotees, this black stuff which covers the silver becomes revealed, and therefore sometimes, intuitively, we are a little afraid of this association. there's a story in this connection which I want to tell you. There was a man, there was a man who was looking every day in a mirror which had a slight dent. Also, sag's mal auf Deutsch, in ein Spiegel, der eine Delle hatte. This man was very, very ugly. He looked really ugly. But because the mirror had a dent, he looked just very, very good. He might have had a nose which went like this from his boxing adventures. Because of the dent, his mirror looked just like, his nose looked just like the perfect nose. Now, for 20 years, every morning he looked into this mirror and he just liked himself and liked his face very much, until a good friend of him gave him a real mirror, ein Kristallspiegel, a mirror which gave the right image of his face. And when he looked himself in the mirror, he saw that he was abgrundtief hässlich, that means really ugly. And he thought how to solve this problem now. He was ugly like a toad, you know, like a duck maybe, or like a toad, like being a creature. What to do? Finally, he got the idea. He took the mirror and the real mirror had crafted on a stone and looked into the distortion mirror. It's a sad ending of the story, I know. But isn't that what we sometimes do when we can't take the advices of the sadhus? Isn't it what we sometimes feel in the association of devotees? No, the problem is not with me, the problem is everywhere else in the universe. Isn't that what we must learn in the association of devotees? It is sometimes when the dirt gets the black covering gets removed. It is painful, but we should go through this, because if we remain bound in this persona, this is the word in psychology, this black covering over the silver, of our soul, then we cannot make a real advancement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Dandasarasvati Thakur gave a very revealing example of the association of devotees. He said, sometimes the words of the sadhus are cutting like the sacrificial knife which chops the goat's head. In the material life, we are prepared to accept the cutting words of so many people. Why not accept sometimes the strong words of the sadhus which help us cut away our illusions? This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So let us therefore practice the association with devotees. Let us be inquisitive. What can we learn here? Even if our wrongs or our weaknesses are seen, we can learn so much. We have to give them up anyways. They are anchors to this world. They are not helpful for our true interest in life. Hare Krishna. I want to end here. Do you have any questions?
Does our specific vana also belong to the category of Svabhava?
Of Svabhava, of acquired nature, of a particular vana. Yes, it certainly does. Because the soul is not a Brahmana, not a Shudra, not a Kshatriya, and so on and so forth. It is the servant. We know this verse. But it's interesting to note that to become peaceful in life and take up one's the work of spiritual advancement of Shravanam Kirtanam, it is very important to not lose out of mind what we can do and what we like to do. I remember very much yesterday, I very much liked Anna's your answer how to increase attachment to Krishna. You were saying we take on a project which we like and which we can do, either big or small, then our attachment to Krishna increases, you remember. And this is a very good answer. We do something which we actually can do, which we are fit to do, which corresponds to our abilities which we have in this life. It's much, much more easy to practice Krishna consciousness.
So this means we also can use this Svabhava for...
Yes, for advancement, yes, yes, yes. Don't go against things, just use them. This is the whole purpose of Yukta Vaidantya. We don't renounce things, but we, which are useful for the service of Krishna, but we engage them in Krishna's service, also our natures.
So at which point does the attachment start to this nature?
Yeah, at the point where you actually have to do something that is obvious in the service of the Lord, when you just keep to your nature. The good example in this is Yudhishthira, who was a Raja Rishi. That means these Raja Rishis never speak a lie. Rishi means saint. Saints are not liars. Krishna had what needed him to say something which was an untruth at that moment. I think it is very revealing. We have our peace researcher, Leif, my very good friend here, and I think it's very interesting. But many of you might know the story, but let me tell this revealing story once again. One day in the 18 days of battle, one day Dronacharya led the masses, and he was so powerful that no one could resist him. He was decimating, as a Parinya did, the number of the Pandava armies, and the blood was flowing. I mean, it was just cruel, and Pandavas could not face him. He was so angry. He was so, there was this day. So Krishna said, we must stop him, otherwise today the battle will be finished and Duryodhana's side will win. How to finish? Well, it was known that Dronacharya would lose all desire to fight when he would hear that his son Ashwatthama would be killed. Krishna said to Yudhishthira, just say Ashwatthama is dead. But he's not dead, said Yudhishthira, I can't say it. It would be untruth. It would go against the principles of Dharma. And if Bhima had overheard this, who's not so dharmic, and he just had no problem, no kind of business conflicted. He just blurted out, Ashwatthama is dead. Drona said. First question was, who said it? And he was informed that Bhima had said it. He didn't even pay heed, he just continued the slaughter. Krishna looked at Yudhishthira and said, you have to say it. Yudhishthira said, I can't, my lord. I have never spoken an untruth. So then Krishna hinted at an elephant whose name was Ashwatthama. Bhima immediately understood. He took his club and he banged it on the head of the poor elephant, Ashwatthama. Krishna looked to Yudhishthira. He shouted, Ashwatthama! The elephant is dead. Couldn't say it. But when he said the elephant, Krishna took his conch and went meow. And what Dronacharya therefore heard is Yudhishthira shouting, Ashwatthama is dead. Who said Dronacharya? Then he heard it was Yudhishthira. He just sat down, couldn't fight any longer. Then Drishtadyumna was born for the death of Dronacharya. Just beheads him. From that moment, the chariot of Yudhishthira touched the ground. The question is, Srila Prabhupada speaks about this, the question is, why? The answer is, yes, Yudhishthira couldn't follow what Krishna desired him to say. Interesting. So at this time, when Krishna requires you to do something which may not be according to your nature, then if it is absolutely obvious you have to do it, then you have to do it. If you don't, it causes an obstacle, devotional service. But Krishna I didn't use the example to say Krishna doesn't require us to lie. We should be the perfect gentlemen. Not a call for lying or cheating. This is not at all the intention of the story. The story makes it very, very clear that if Krishna desires something, the highest principle is to surrender. Like it is said here, any religious principles opposed to the principle of surrendering to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are to be considered religious principles of irregularity or cheating, and one who is actually interested in religion must give them up. Illustration to this. Adam Prabhupada's prayer. Yes, Prabhupada.
That's very interesting that there's this one story I heard before. I never read this, but I've heard this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was many years ago when Prabhupada was preaching. Some people, some guests, they asked Prabhupada, since he's a guru, a saintly person, sadhu, if he could perform miracles. And because, you know, in India, it's a common thing if you're a big saint or sadhu, you know how to manifest something.
Yeah.
Rastu or something. So they were asking Prabhupada the same way, trying to challenge him. And when his question was asked to Srila Prabhupada, he just contemplated for a moment, and then he said, yes, I have performed miracles. And he said, the miracle is that I've taken malechas and yavanas, and I've turned them into Vaishnavas.
Very good.
Yeah. So it appears when we talk about Svadharma, Svabhava.
Svabhava, yes.
It appears that the real test, but that would be is, because we all come from a lecture background, so we've all eaten abominable things, and we've done abominable things. The real miracle is to see if we can actually give those things up and develop the Vaishnava nature, which is to glorify Krishna and to give up all these abominable habits, even in the term of speech. Because, you know, in the material world, people speak to each other in a very harsh way.
Yeah.
They criticize each other in a very harsh way. They speak against each other behind their back.
Yeah.
And the desire to respect someone is only if you have so much money. But that's only external, because behind the scenes you want their money. You want everything that they possess. So really, that is the miracle.
Yes.
The miracle is that if we have we were all bred with these particular natures, even from our own mother and father, they pushed you and they condoled you to become rich and powerful and famous and arrogant and you know, abominable. And this is the miracle, because I know that when I go home, my mother even told me, she said, I don't know you anymore. You're not my son.
Right.
You belong to this other man. You belong to this man. So, although I'm not any devotee, but I'm just saying that that is the real miracle. And we can experience that within our own life if we change our particular, this abominable nature.
I would just summarize it for the tape listening posterity, what you said. So Prabhupada was saying that when Prabhupada was asked, where is his miracle? He said, my miracle is that I have transformed mleshas into Vaishnavas. That indicates really that nature has been transformed. Nature of... Yes. Thank you very much. It's a wonderful... The process is so powerful that I have heard in Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the foremost instruction of Ramanujacharya is, if you cannot purify yourself by any endeavor, then just go and sit with the Vaishnavas and you will achieve all auspiciousness, because in that association. And Prabhupada really gave us association. He extended himself really. You read in the Lilamrita how he gave the devotees this association. It was accessible at any time of the day, practically. Change. Vaishnavas like a touchstone. Change this form. Therefore, my dear devotees, let us just form this as a all be constructive in this association, that the Vaishnava mood just flows freely, like healing, soothing the rays, and that will transform us totally from crows into swans. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Yeah. Can I answer in English? Yeah. The question is, if I'm surrounded with people who tell me all the good things, how can I develop a vision to see my own anattas? And a second question related to this is, how can I find association, real association, which helps me see the points I have to work at?
Good.
Yes, you have pointed out something which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, he who praises me is my enemy, actually. And his activity, we are consistent with this, what he spoke. There was once a person who had it in his mind to just disturb his lecture tour, and he came. He always said, no, this is not true. But this Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he has said something which is not in the Shastras. You know, it's just very aggressively, he always tried to point something out. And then he had his natural death, he died. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was very sad that now this person who was sent to correct him and died, he actually cried. So yes, you're right. We are not so eager to hear critic. Unfortunately, we are eager to hear our own praise. Say it is. Said better die and praise than become healthy in prison when you are criticism criticized. That's a point which is there. Now you will get the association of real devotee friends who know about this and who therefore don't praise you all the time, but who also help you in times of need. When you cultivate these friendships, it is not possible. No devotee will actually tell you your weaknesses when you don't have a developed relationship, because the devotee is naturally afraid that you will take offense. That's the next fears. So no real devotee will just go to the other and say, you stink here and you stink there. We're too afraid to commit offenses, really, or to offend someone else. You have to, if you want this from devotees, you have to develop a relationship which is a little longer or deeper, and then the devotee will tell to you, oh, here is something that I think you should work on. In other words, devotee association, if you will want a strong association, you will have to invest some time to deepen such relationships. And isn't it also the human nature? If there's someone who points out our weaknesses, where we feel he doesn't really know me, then we are not so inclined really to take it as serious. But if there's someone who is close to us and whom we respect and like, and he tells us, then we are prepared to think deeply about it. It's just human nature. So if you want such an association, you should cultivate it with a few devotees. And I know that you're doing this. You have a few deep devotee friends. And then you should sometimes practice this. The way you should start to elicit a statement, as a video of best house becomes, was der andere sagt, you should say, my dear Prabhupada, so-and-so, I have the feeling that there's something which I might improve, but I can't really see it as of yet. Can you just help me and see this? And then if he sees that you are really willing to hear, that you really want to hear, then this devotee will speak. He has to see that you are really desiring to hear, and otherwise no cultured devotee or real devotee will just, you know, like in the Kami world, you know, there they say, now I will tell you what I don't like about you. And then the other person says, now I also will tell you what I don't like about you. And it becomes a battle with words. This is the culture where I'm coming from, this was the practice amongst intellectuals and so on. We would get together, we would have our words, and everyone would go bleeding from the session and would think, oh, now we are cured, you know, aggressive German. Analyze what you did wrong, what your father did to you in the past, and then you think you can give up this particular thing. That really doesn't work. And psychology becomes aware of this more and more. Now, that's not really what you have to do. Is you have to purify yourself. Then it goes. Krishna consciousness, we know, we are originally pure. Why have you forgotten, Janavi? You are the eternal soul. It is a scandal. And by the process of Krishna consciousness, the layers are purified. Not by analytical... I mean, it sometimes doesn't harm to know where the black spots are on the heart, because then we know that we can work on, but to get them obeyed, it can only be done by enthusiasm, by devotion. It can be only done by devotional service, not in other way. This is explained in the first canto. That, in the sixth canto, that by the process of jnana and karma, you may momentarily take care of your material desires, but they come back again. And the example has been given. And you have in India a bamboo, you know, this bamboo wood, this unkraut, how do you say, leaves from the bamboo. You put a fire around and the fire burns away all the leaves. But after some time, they come back because the roots are still there. Only by the process of bhakti, not like jnana, this you could call jnana, and here you could stretch the head a little bit and call it analysis. Not only by bhakti, this deeply rooted material desire which form your svabhava, your second nature, get uprooted. Only kevalaya bhakti, kinshit kevalaya bhakti, this is Prabhupada's most lectured verse on. This is a verse from the sixth chapter that it says, only by bhakti these things are uprooted totally. So analysis in itself is really not sufficient. You must take into Krishna consciousness the activity which roots out the desire. And it works. Don't become so self-critical. You look at what you are now, or what you were long ago. Significant advancements have been made. Good. Let us end the lecture here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jiti Goni Tai ki jai, Go Premanand, you are very good.